So we're talking today a lot about green washing and green cleaning. How many people here thought that that was the same thing? It's actually different. Okay. So I work with the Responsible Purchasing Network. It's actually a new organization that I started working with just this summer, although I've been doing green procurement since 1994. And I have no relationships to disclose. We're a nonprofit organization. That has over 250 members, mostly government agencies, institutions, NGOs, and we basically work with our members to help them to purchase environmentally preferable products, sort of go through and figure out what actually is greenwashing and what are actual green products. To do that, we use a number of different methods. We have purchasing guides. I put a sample of the purchasing guide in the back. Here's one on cleaning products. And it tends to tell you about a little bit of background. It'll tell you what the standards are that are out there. It'll give you some model examples. It'll tell you specifically what different agencies have done and give you sample policies and specs and other types of things. We also do monthly webinars. Actually, those are open to the public for free. And we have a monthly e-newsletter. And we publish a lot of information just on green purchasing across a broad number of categories and have sustainable purchasing policies, calculators, and a lot of different other tools. So green cleaning is important. We already heard about a lot from Elise. I don't know that there's that much more to say, except that custodial workers really are on the front lines of this. They're working with these products 8 hours a day, and so they're getting a lot more exposure than the average person. Children are disproportionately impacted because their immune systems are not well developed, because their lungs are working very quickly, because they're close to the ground, they're putting their hands in their mouth. So there's we particularly want to look at the impacts of these cleaning products on children. Fish are sort of a captive audience. Whatever we flush down the drain ends up going into their water supply. And I recently, after doing some scuba diving, was thinking about this. Actually, is a fish from one of my scuba diving trips, and about the fact that some of the chemicals that are in cleaning products, some of these surfactants, have such strong perfumes, and they coat the fish, so the fish actually can't smell each other and no longer can school. And so it's important that we realize that our daily activities can have a significant impact on them. And green cleaning is also important because it can save a lot of money for school districts, particularly when they use concentrated cleaning products. So we do a lot with school districts and state and local governments, get them off of products like aerosol glass cleaner and onto something that they can dilute with about 250 parts water. It really saves them a huge amount of money. Greenwashing is the act of misleading consumers about the environmental practices of a company or environmental benefits of a product or service. And there is so much out there. When I first started doing green purchasing 15 years ago, companies really didn't want to associate with anything being green. Now everything's green, and it's really hard for people to navigate through it. So I'm going to try to help you today to navigate through what is greenwashing and what's really green. And you have to just be careful, and as the other speakers mentioned, we need to ask critical questions, or you might be buying products with creative marketing rather than products with legitimate environmental benefits. And I'm going to show you a couple of examples. These are some of the claims that are out there. One of my favorite is practically non-toxic. What does that mean? Essentially non-toxic, close, pretty close to non-toxic, except for that toxic thing that's in there. All of these claims are false claims according to the Federal Trade Commission. But it doesn't stop companies from actually using those claims all the time. And there are the six sins of greenwashing. Actually, now it's up to seven, worshiping false labels. And there's a lot of those, and I'll show you a couple of those. But some of the things that constitute greenwashing are things like outright fibbing. This product is not toxic. And then it contains chemicals that are in the toxic release inventory. No proof. They just claim that something's green with no documentation, no certification. Irrelevance. They CFC-free. CFCs have been banned since the 1970s. Hidden trade-offs. This is not relating to to cleaning products, but I just recently learned that compostable food containers that are the ones that are all green sometimes contain a Teflon coating. Sin of vagueness, this thing is 100% natural, and the lesser of two evils, organic cigarettes. So I have a couple of examples. If we had more time, I'd be able to really have it be more interactive. But this just shows that some of the manufacturers themselves will put labels on that they just made up using their computer. So organic penetrating lube. Basically, it's not organic like the vegetables that you get at the farmer's market. Actually, this is a product that is mostly a petroleum-based product. Similar to this product that you may have seen, it's a more popular product. You'll see it's marketed using the power of citrus, made with a special combination of citrus and scientific technology. Well, the scientific technology, this is the material safety data sheet, is 95% petroleum distillates, and they use a little bit of orange oil to cover up the smell of the petroleum distillates. So it's really not a citrus-based product, which actually would have its own problems, but even then, there's just a lot of marketing these products so that people will go ahead and buy them. This is a product that you may have seen. It is green. It's the color green. And it claims to be non-toxic, biodegradable, and no known hazards if used as directed by the manufacturer. This product contains one of the chemicals that was on Elise's slide, 2-butoxyethanol, which is a glycol ether that can soak through your skin and poison your organs. And no known hazards if used as directed. You'll notice it's in a spray bottle. The safety sheet for this product actually is based on diluting it 1 to 30 times, but nobody does that. They go to the grocery store, they get this product, and they spray it. So a lot of people will report to us that they're experiencing respiratory hazards associated with this product. So in order to cut through, I'm just going to jam through some of these. The most important thing, and you've heard it already, is to look for the multi-attribute certification. And that's like Green Seal, as Cheryl described, where you really go through the plethora of environmental and health risks associated with a product and make sure that those issues are screened out. And it's important. Some companies will actually say, our product meets Green Seal standards, but it actually isn't certified. You need to make sure it's certified, because what they also do is they go out to the factory to make sure that they're doing what they say they're doing. Some products will have single attribute product certifications, and these are just not as good because you can have that hidden trade-off, as we mentioned. So a product may be certified as biodegradable, and that's better than not having any certification at all, but it may have another problem associated with it. There are also these product rating systems. This one is the Bio Preferred catalog. And the important thing to know about some of these rating systems is that the industry almost always just gives the data to these companies, or in this case, it's the USDA, and there's no verification of most of the claims. Another one is Good Guide. So they're just, scraping data from different places and coming up with a rating system. But that information is not necessarily verified. EPA's DFE program, Design for the Environment, is also a rating program, although they sometimes call themselves a certification program. They have a Safer Detergent Stewardship Initiative, which mostly goes after those chemicals I told you about that coat the fish. They're called alkyl phenol ethoxylates. They're also endocrine disruptors. And they have a product recognition program. They're a good technical assistance program, but they're not as transparent and participatory as Green Seal. Some of their criteria are vague, and some of the products don't even meet all the criteria. There's a lot of companies out there that are doing green by association. You'll see we are a U.S. Green Building Council member. Well, all you have to do is pay money to become a member. It doesn't necessarily mean that your product is green, but you'll see that kind of marketing. And here's another one where Clorox and Sierra Club have teamed up, and a lot of times you'll see the products marketed by Sierra Club, and actually Clorox gave a ton of money to Sierra Club to keep those programs going. So if there aren't certifications for certain products, and we're glad to see that Green Seal is going to be moving into some of these special cleaning products, there are some things you can just look out for. Anything hazardous ingredients, obviously you need to know what those are. In California, you have to label products that have anything that can cause cancer or birth defects. We'll get this Prop 65 warning on it. And one of the products that we went after and successfully sued was Goof Off. Some products are required to say danger, corrosive, flammable. Best to avoid aerosols, if at all possible, because if there are any chemicals of concern, they can easily penetrate into your lungs. And also, the propellants themselves can be a problem. And then, as you heard earlier about antibacterial hand soaps, no evidence that they actually reduce germs, and they're causing all kinds of problems. So, to use eco labels effectively, many environmentally preferable purchasing policies will specifically say that as long as it's an eco label that was developed by an independent third party organization, because sometimes the trade associations for companies like the Carpet and Rug Institute, they'll come out with their little logo. So you really need to, we're almost now certifying the certifiers to figure out, is the certification actually one that's good. But if you do have a good certification, it makes the job of the purchasing agent a lot easier just to do that than to get reams of paper showing that this product, is not toxic to fish. So in some cases, there are not a certification. Or you can reference a certification in a specification. So if your hospital or your school or your government agency is going out to bid for cleaners, you can say, just reference, it must be GreenSeal Ecologo certified. No open containers is another thing that we recommend, so they can't just glug open up the bottle. Performance, you want to make sure that even though these products do have to go through performance testing, that they work in your facility, and the custodial workers actually like the equipment and they like the products, because you don't want to be making their job harder. And that the companies that are distributing these products are providing training. And if possible, give preference to local distributors. So when we talk about environmentally preferable purchasing, it's important to remember that it's environment and price and performance. All of those things need to be met in order to satisfy the purchasing department. There have been some performance evaluations. One was done in Minneapolis. They conducted a 3-year green cleaning pilot test, and they reported cost savings moving to a metered dilution system away from hand mixing. So they used to just open the bottle and kind of eyeball it, and it turns out that they were using about 10 times more chemical than they were supposed to be using. So all of a sudden now they have these automatic dilution systems, and those save money, and they also prevent exposure to the workers. But they also have documented reduced sick days for custodial staff, reduced waste and other liabilities, and improved indoor air quality. I want to talk a little bit just about disinfectants. We've heard a little bit from the other speakers as well. The disinfectants are pesticides, and they should be used only when needed, applied to a clean surface, properly diluted, and left on long enough to work. There are safer disinfectants. I won't have time today to talk a lot about this, but I did a pilot project over the last year and a half with childcare centers looking at alternatives to bleach, and we have been able to find some good alternatives. Because bleach is an asthmogen, also so are the quats, so are pine oil is a potential respiratory sensitizer, and phenylphenol is a carcinogen and an asthmogen. And I just learned this morning. Pine sol actually is made, the pine oil is a byproduct of the paper pulping industry. I never knew that. And so basically there's a lot of products out there that kind of have come to be developed because the industry has this byproduct that they're trying to get rid of. It's the same thing with Goof Off, where they're using petroleum waste. This is paper pulp waste. And this is from the Clorox company themselves saying this. There are safer disinfectants. They largely are based on hydrogen peroxide technology, which is improved. They're used largely throughout Canada and Europe. There are also some citric acid and lactic acid formulas that are effective against all the way up to, TB and staph, and so both viruses and bacteria and fungi as well. And they break down in sewage, unlike the quats and some of the other things that are building up. They also can be more cost-effective. This is just a table from one of the pilot tests I worked on in Hawaii. Somebody had to do that project. But it basically showed this NABC is a quaternary compound. It's a non-diluted product. It was actually in the office of the janitorial supervisor who had asthma herself, and it was like oozing this blue stuff out. And it was very expensive. You can see it was about, for a 55-gallon drum, about $380. We switched them over to the peroxide-based products. So two and a little sliver of the bottle when it's diluted, made the same amount of disinfectant as that, and you can see it dropped their costs precipitously. And my last slide, I just want to mention that these products are widely available. And so they're not generally available in the supermarket as much, but they are available through institutional distributors that are commonly used by institutions that you may be involved with. So if you have the ability to go out there and get your hospital, your school, or your government agency to switch to green cleaners, know that these products work, they're available, and they're cost effective. Thank you.